Okay, so this is interesting because I've been seeing people post stuff on Facebook, and I saw somebody post a thing on Facebook that says, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Being in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. And I wanted to say something, but I've learned restraint. Anyway, so it got me thinking because I have on my phone the Bible app, and I was listening to Hebrews because I'm studying an area, and when I'm doing that, I follow the Jewish Torah portions. So I'm reading along with the Jewish people and Messianic Christians, and we're all reading these Torah portions together. So we're all, I got to tell you, it's Leviticus right now, and it's about sacrifice. But one of the things that's interesting about the sacrifice is that most of the sacrifices are fellowship sacrifices. And the purpose behind them is you bring your sacrifice, and you share some with the priest, and you wave some up at God. So you're fellowshipping with the priests, and you're fellowshipping with God. And the three of you, it's a fellowship offering. And so, you know, you're reading through that, and one of them is a free will offering that you bring, and they all have names for them, but they're, you know, I'm not good with, you know, people names, much less, you know, other names. And this offering, you can eat it on the first day, and you can eat it on the second day, but after the third day, you have to get rid of it because it starts to decay. And I thought, well, isn't that like Jesus? He could stay in the ground the first day. He could stay in the tomb the second day, but on the third day he had to come out because decay couldn't get him. There were laws, that's what I'm going to get to, because then you get into these things about gathering. So you gathered the manna, and you would gather enough for yourself and your family for every day, except on the sixth day you would gather enough for Sabbath. And then you'd have it for the Sabbath because you can't go out and gather it on the Sabbath. And quail, you could go out and gather, but on the sixth day, you had to go out, you had to get enough quail for 2 days because you can't go out and gather it. So there's laws on gathering. And I was thinking about that, and then this thing happened on Facebook where people are like, they're bombarding me and just daring me to say something. And I've made a vow I'm not going to do that. I'm like Paul in Acts chapter 18. I've made a vow, and I'm following through with it. So I stay away from that. And, you know, because people get offended so easily. It's, you know, and I used to say, well, people should stop being so easily offended. But then Paul says, give no cause to be offensive. So I'm like, oh, my gosh. Not only can't I get offended, I can't be offensive. Which makes you have to turn off most every night, you know, nightly TV talk shows. Yeah, Kathy just shares recipes and cute stories. Yeah. So anyway, I was thinking about that. Hebrews 10:25, in talking about the change in the priesthood from the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood, which Jesus is the high priest over the Melchizedek priesthood. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Forsake not the gathering together, as is the habit of many, as the time approaches." And I was thinking about that because somebody had posted on my pastor's page, well, Hebrews 10:25 says to forsake not the gathering together. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So me, I like to do a word study. Well, what does gather mean? It means assemble. It means bring together. In fact, here I've got, well, it looks like that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So let me pull out my handy dandy notes on that. In the Greek language, it's the word Episonogi, or something like that. It's the number 1997, which I thought was a cool number, 1997. And the meaning of it is to assemble or gather, collect, or a grouping that builds upon the specific person, purpose, or reason for gathering. And so what is the purpose and the reason for the church to gather? We're assembled. We're called to assemble. We're called to come together. We're called to gather together, right? Well, what for what purpose? For the edification of the body. To come together for the hearing of the word, for the baptism in the Spirit and the gifts and tongues and prophecy and all of the wonderful things that happen when we come together. Here I wrote, in much the same way Paul refers to the temple stones, or actually Peter too, saying that we are like the stones of the temple being jointly fit together. See, the stones are gathered together and they're fit together in a certain way. When we come to church, we are like those stones that God is assembling together. Assembly, assembling, right? The word is only used two times in the New Testament. Two times in the New Testament. And this is where it got really interesting to me. Because the other term is in, the other time is in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Anybody know what that one is? No takers? Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily upset in mind or troubled either by a spirit or by a message or by a letter as if from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has already come. So it's used two times, this word in the Greek, it's used two times. One, it's used in the connotation of people purposely and intentionally gathering together. The other time, it's used of the Lord gathering us together in the rapture. So that really, that got like, oh, man, my knees started shaking. You know what I'm thinking? That is, right, that is cool. Literally, we're gathered together with Jesus. The other time is 2 Thessalonians 2 and Hebrews 10:25. So in the early days of the church, the people, as we've been reading in the books of Acts, as we've been studying the book of Acts, where are they always gathering together? Synagogue. They're gathering together in the synagogues and in homes. So they're not just meeting one day a week. They're gathering together all the time. They're making a habit, a practice of gathering together. And that makes me think, what for? Because they're expecting to be gathered together. Gathered together. So I think about the guy who posted, just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. True. Being in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. If you have a garage open for a car, do you purposely leave it outside? No, you garage that car. I mean, if you can, you garage the car. I mean, you know, we've got, you know, a bunch of my dad's stuff in the garage still, so we can't yet get a car in, although I think if we worked things right, we probably could. but if you're a Christian, why would you not assemble and not gather together? Because here's the rest of my thought on this. Jesus said in the book of Revelation that he's walking through the churches. As he's walking through the churches, in the book of Revelation, the first seven letters, those seven letters to the churches, they're all about what? What is he doing to them? He's correcting them. He's leading them. He's instructing them. He's making them disciples. He says, you're doing really good in this area, but over here you're lacking. You need to pick this up. You have a name, a reputation. But I'm telling you, you don't. You need to fix it. So he's coming through the churches and he's bringing correction. When we're in the church and we're gathered together and he's here and then we get a word or the word is preached and the word brings something to us and it brings a correcting to our hearts, a realigning that gets us focused on him. If we're not doing that, if we're not gathering together, how many of you know people who just, it's their habit, they don't go to church? They claim to be Christians, but they just don't go to church. Right? They're looking at people because they have been offended, right? They've been hurt. You know, it turns out that Christians are people, and, you know, we have hang-ups and we have flaws, and God forbid if somebody should get offended at church, right? You know, as if that's never happened. Here's the aspect to that I want to get at. And if we abandon fellowship with other believers, not attending, and we don't fellowship, can we truly know him? Because, right, we're his body. Paul said, you know, are you a little toe? Are you an arm? Are you an eye? What part are you? And if you're not bringing your part together, to gather together and assemble together, then it's like trying to walk around all the time without the little toe that helps bring balance. the evolutionists say, oh, in a couple hundred years, we'll lose the little toe. I hope not, because that keeps me from falling. You know what I'm saying? We need all the parts. Can we truly know him? Can we truly have fellowship with other believers? Can we truly have fellowship with him if we just watch church on TV and we don't really fellowship and we don't have any interaction? We don't have the iron sharpening iron that comes from other people, because if you get offended, you're being sharpened. Have you ever sharpened an instrument? It's abrasive. I mean, you've got to push hard. You've got to rub hard to get something sharpened. And it throws a lot of sparks. Iron sharpening iron isn't always like, oh, I've got goosebumps on goosebumps. Oh, it feels so good. No, most of the time it's like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to kick that in the teeth. And then you don't, and you walk away a stronger person. Sharper. We can't really be sharpened if we're not gathering together. I can't tell you how many men I've heard say, well, my grandfather told me you don't have to be in church to be a Christian. So grandpa doesn't go. Dad doesn't go. Son says, well, they don't got to go. I don't got to go. No, being in church doesn't make you a Christian. We can't be one mind, one accord if we're not gathering together. Would a person who's not gathering be without spot or blemish? No, you can't. Because you're missing something. You're missing something. You're missing something. And some of the most inhospitable locations where it's illegal for Christians to even meet together or to confess that they're Christians, they do it because it builds them up, even though they're under threat of death, imprisonment, beheading, beatings. I've told you this before. We know this guy, David Hogan. He ministers down in South America. And he says down there, they've got the guerrilla warfare is almost all the time going on. And they can't announce where they're going to meet because these militants will come and kill them. So you know what they have to do? They have to be led by the Holy Spirit and know where they're going to meet. And the Holy Spirit will lead them to where they're going to meet. And that's how they meet. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that? Aren't you glad that they can be led by the Holy Spirit and to meet? It's because they want to be gathered together. Here's the thing. How many of you have ever heard the story of the 10 virgins, the parable of the 10 virgins? Okay? Because I think that feeds a lot into this. All of them were gathered together. All of them had an expectation. All of them were waiting for the rapture. Was anybody outside the 10 virgins gathered to the master? No, it was just the 5. Everybody who's in church professing to be a believer isn't a believer. But it started occurring to me, and I've thought about this for a while, and I'm not saying that this is doctrine. I'm just saying I think this fits really well into what I'm saying. And some of you, I can tell you already know where I'm going with this. Can you be gathered if you're not gathering? And I'm not saying, you know, if you're sick and you miss church or you go on vacation or something like that. But there are people that, I mean, we'll see people come on Easter Sunday that we haven't seen since last Easter Sunday. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just putting that out there, because even in the other parables where there were 2 in the field, what were they doing? What are you doing in the field? You're gathering. You're working. They're gathering in the wheat. They're gathering in the harvest. So I got to looking, and I didn't save this in the same spot, so I've got to go back and look at it. Okay, so in Hebrew, it's the word asaph, and it means to gather, collect, in its first person, persons. To gather and collect persons. So gathering is to collect people. It's locative. It's to collect men, to collect people, to collect armies for fighting numbers. These are all of the connotations involved in it. So if we start putting ourselves in that position, and it's especially of the fruits of the earth. So gathering together, when we gather together, we're like a harvest. Isn't that what the rapture is? With Ruth. And she went out to gather in the fields, and there she met her beloved while she was gathering in the fields. Her kinsman redeemer, who is a type of Christ. And that goes back again, you know, we're talking about the manna and the quails, because you're to gather those things in. God sends us things, and we're to gather them in. God sends us people, we're to gather them in. God created the church, which is the body of Jesus Christ. Can we truly be where we're supposed to be if we're not gathering? Because when we're gathering, that's when our gifts come out. That's when our fellowship comes in. That's when our giving each other a holy kiss, greeting each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and encouraging each other and praying for each other and building each other up. Because it's an effort that we come together and we do that at the together. It even refers to collecting of the wind. Collecting of the wind. Where we're together, the Spirit of God is there, and the Spirit of God is likened to the wind. And so the Spirit of God, when we come together, the Spirit of God is there. Because each of us has a portion that we bring, and when we come together, when we gather together as the temple, then the gathering together that we have brings forth the Holy Spirit in a greater volume. And then we have a greater experience. And yeah, then we can get the goosebumps and feel good. Because God just corrected me, and I love it when he says, your words have been stout against me, and I'm like, say what? Do you know what I'm saying? Correction. You know, when we correct our children, no, don't do it like that, do it like this. And they're okay. Then they've just received correction. They've just received discipline. They're learning how to do it the way you know how to do it. At our house, we taught the children, toilet paper rolls over the top. Don't do it underneath. It goes over the top. Even if, you know, what is it? The original diagram for the original patent on toilet paper actually shows it going over the top. So if you're not going over the top, you're doing it wrong. According to the patent, you're doing it wrong. What did you learn at church today? Toilet paper goes over the top. Two, gather an individual into company of others. Object a person, especially gather to one's father. It's a gathering of people, especially to their father. See, when we look and we see the Old Testament type, then we can start looking at it with the new lens of gathering together and all of the different purposes and all of the different experiences that can come from that. It's a responsibility. It actually says, 2 Samuel 11:27, both followed by the association or responsibility, protection being implied by being together. When we come together, there's an aspect of protection. There's a lady that I absolutely adore this lady, and she loves the church, and she loves the fellowship, and she loves the word. She won't come because the worship isn't exactly what she likes. So she stays home, and she's not in fellowship. And that's a sad thing, because she literally asked me, is it okay if I come after worship? I don't care when you come. Just come. It doesn't matter. I mean, there are some people, they're professional at coming 5 minutes before worship is over. I wasn't going to go there because I'm all prepared for tonight. And now we went and did this, and so now I have to reconsider what I'm going to do for Sunday. All right. Well, you guys are dismissed. Don't forget the annual business meeting on Sunday and potluck, okay?